Hey everyone, and welcome to this special Soapbox edition of the Risky Business Podcast. My name's Patrick Gray, and for those of you who are looking for the regular weekly edition of the show, this is not one of those. You can scroll back one episode in your podcast feed to hear Adam Boileau and I chatting about the week's security news. But yeah, as I mentioned, this is a Soapbox edition of the podcast, and these Soapbox editions are wholly sponsored. That means everyone you hear in one of these podcasts paid to be here. And in this edition, we are chatting with Jake King. Now, Jake is a co-founder of CMD Security, a Linux security startup. And that startup was recently acquired by Elastic. CMD was one of the handful of startups we agreed to sponsor before they'd even really launched. We met with Jake in Vegas a couple times, and he told us what he was building, and he said he wanted Risky Biz to be a part of growing his company. And, you know, it all worked out swimmingly, actually. So we got a great sponsor, and he got to build his startup, and now they've wound up over at Elastic. So CMD's technology basically started out as a control and visibility tool for Linux systems that could, restrict user actions and report user behavior and, just give you good visibility. And you'd be surprised how far that sort of functionality gets you. But over time, the product evolved to be more detection and response oriented. It's not really EDR because it's software for infrastructure, not desktops. It's basically what you'd wind up with if you asked a bunch of clever developers to build something like EDR, but for infrastructure. And that's the thing, isn't it? Linux is the infrastructure OS, and there's not much point building security tools for Linux that don't recognize how it's typically being used, which is in infrastructure deployments and, often orchestrated, scalable infrastructure deployments. So in this interview, we talked to Jake about why CMD wound up where it is, product-wise, and what customers can expect now his company has been swept up by Elastic as a part of its broader push into XDR, or Extended Detection and Response. Here's Jake King.
You know, I think we're kind of stuck in the 90s perception of Linux and endpoint security for so long. When CMD popped up and started to become a vendor, you know, obviously the listeners will know we've been on the podcast for pretty much that whole time. And I think one of the perceptions we're often fighting off in the early days is you're building a security software for, 2% of the endpoints that are used in commercial offices, in corporate offices and network systems. And really it was the inverse of the problem that we're super interested in. And that's cloud computing. You know, we knew that the majority of AWS systems, majority of Azure, even Google were running Linux at the core of these critical networks and systems. It was powering some of the most powerful web scale apps at the time. It still is, and it's only getting bigger with containers, virtualization as well. But I think what became really interesting, Pat, was there was this kind of mindset shift in that, we went from not needing to defend these systems because they were relatively tied down with pretty good security controls because they were simple, getting into really advanced configurations, a lot of human interaction, a ton of automation, a ton of cycling assistance.
Yeah, it became unmanageable, right?
And it did. Yeah.
It's an interesting thing too, because I always feel like the Linux admins out there that I know are kind of vendor tool resistant don't want to buy stuff because it's sort of, it sort of cuts against the whole Linux vibe, right? Here's this open source thing that's really powerful that you can configure. And the philosophy is, well, if you can't do it with a, ridiculously huge bash script, well, you're just not a good enough admin.
Yeah. So most of the time it's Perl scripts, but I think,
you'd be amazed at the bash scripts I've seen, my friend.
Hey, you can do some amazing things. Shout out to the infrastructure team at Hootsuite that built a lot on bash. But, I think, one of the things that we found really quickly was those admins started getting more and more developer-centric. The workflow of who was managing these systems was becoming DevOps. And I hate to use that kind of buzzword term, but it was what we were finding when we were speaking to tons of companies. And where that shift started to occur was we were automating these systems, we were adding orchestration, we were talking about containerization of the applications. And I think the last time we spoke, Pat, we talked about this kind of cloud reinvention, redeployment of a lot of those systems into container worlds. And really, it was a lot of those components that added up to being a requirement you know, for these environments became security. And look, you know, I'm not the first person to say it, and many others will as well. Linux was intrinsically reasonably secure back in the day when it was simple host and deployed systems, and you know, you stayed around the kind of core libraries that you're using.
Well, I mean, with a few exceptions, when you say Linux was always intrinsically secure, and then I've been around long enough to remember like Red Hat 2.1, you know?
Yeah, maybe I shouldn't speak too much in generalities.
But I know what you mean. It's usually been used in a secure way because people wouldn't normally roll Red Hat for desktops and whatever and spin up all default services. You would just use the bits that you needed and then go through seven layers of dependency hell to, you know, try to keep it
to keep it patched and up to date.
And to try to keep it as lightweight as possible. That was always the dream.
You know, and you're exactly right. And fundamentally what that ended up becoming was, you know, bloated network orchestration layers and tons of controllers around containerization and automation scripts that were getting rolled out to cycle these instances. And then we threw it in the cloud and thought, hey, we can just spin a ton of these things up, go with the defaults, open up the ports, manage them remotely, you know, never see the hardware that these systems would run on. And then we'd kind of be holding the bag when someone had got a, you know, popped a shell on one of these systems. And so, you know, we saw a lot of value in being able to provide tons of observability, commoditize part of that problem to make it easier to try and pull a lot of that information as the demographic that managed these systems changed. And, you know, a lot of what Elastic has been bringing to the table over the last few years has been doing a lot of the same things. You know, we saw a lot of parallels in the way that the product was brought into organizations from technical folks and then adopted wider. We saw a ton of parallels in the way that customization was a big part of this, but workflow became a big part of how we handled what we were doing with security, and those parallels apply at Elastic as well. You know, I think the more we've matured as a company at CMD and you know, kind of coming into our next phase, which is exciting, you know, the more I've started to realize that you've got to broaden, you know, who can use this kind of software. You've got to make it easy to use. You got to make it more accessible and fundamentally open it up where you can.
Well, it's interesting what you're saying, right? Because you're talking about how this very sort of narrow demographic just blew up, right? Which is people managing large scale Linux-based infrastructure, and they didn't really have the tooling, and you were right place, right time. And you know, it's been a tremendous success. But what other types of solutions are out there? Like not CMD, right? Like what are the other sort of things that people are kind of doing when it comes to securing Linux? Because, you know, you're right, actually, because the place where it's most needed is kind of the place you are already. But it does feel like there's been a lot of startups in the Linux world just trying to do things a little differently, a little bit more generically, and maybe not taking that same approach, which is like, this is for large-scale DevOps-y style environments.
Or dealing with the threat model in a bit of a, maybe not an optimal way. I think you know, we tackled a threat model that was focused around administrative actions on the systems, compromising of servers, compromising of a process, maybe less so on the next gen AV side of the play, that might be more effective with Linux running on the desktop. But really, I think,
well, yeah, there's one of your competitors that put a lot of time into, like, you know, anti-exploit tech, right? Which did seem a little strange, considering it wasn't really a problem. I think they were anticipating that to become a bigger problem than it has become, you know?
And I definitely think we'll get to a point of maturity where adversaries start to play around with really advanced tactics and techniques, and having a really, you know, a solid foundation of being able to detect or evade or prevent different attacks, like that's going to be an important part of any cloud Linux security strategy, cloud container security strategy. I just don't think it was where the pain was being felt. And so, you know, we really did tackle an interesting part of that threat model. And I think where it kind of lined up really nicely with, you know, a lot of the capabilities we were building was amazing technology that came out of Netflix and the Brandon Gregg and the team there, eBPF, being able to pull amazing safe telemetry from systems, building amazing technology on top of that to understand what a workload was doing, how it was working, what it was doing every day, and then using policies to better defend it. We were really fortunate to have been, one of the early companies working on that technology stack.
Why don't you just explain to people what eBPF is for those who don't know?
Yeah, eBPF, Extended Berkeley Packet Filter, is fundamentally an interface within the Linux kernel that allows you to trace different parts of the system, specifically, network in the legacy days, but more recently, things like files, executions, system calls that are being run, pulling that telemetry in a way that's very sandboxed and safe. It's basically a unified system that either performance teams, there's a ton of optimization around, the way we fetch performance data from systems that have leveraged eBPF, tons of really impressive stuff that's now turning into a control plane through eBPF, but we'll get to that in a little bit, I think. But, really what eBPF provided was a consistent interface for security teams, for other teams to be able to use to pull data from Linux kernel that wasn't necessarily just audit D. And I think in turn, what that did was it improved the way that these tools operated on the system, gave them better coverage, better visibility of what was going on the host in a safer way. But it also allowed us to do some really amazing things to pull a complete picture of what John the administrator did on the host, or Cindy the administrator did on the database, and fundamentally it was taking a lot of those components, building out a really amazing viewpoint workflows around that at CMD that our customers got really excited about. Is that kind of thing we're hoping to bring to Elastic as well?
It's funny when you talk about this, right? Because this has always been the thing. It's kind of what I alluded to earlier, right? Which is people just generally want to do everything themselves when it comes to Linux. Yeah. And you talk about eBPF and everyone's like, great, I'm going to write my own thing because all of the guts of it are there. And it's just not a good use of your time. And I think we need that sort of sea change, I guess, in the sort of Linux security thinking, which is, it's not the end of the world to use a tool if it's actually a good tool. You can pay for Linux stuff and it's not going to be
I think we did bring a lot of companies on at CMD that believed that as well. They were kind of sick of the talent leaving and the scripts breaking 3 weeks later.
That's the problem, right? Is you might find someone who gets it all up and running and it's all wonderful. And they get hit by a bus and you've got problems.
You've immediately got a very sophisticated security
system that no one can
security
use.
Yes. System that no one understands. Yeah, but I think when we started to focus on the simplicity there, and obviously compartmentalizing the way that the sensor could operate, as we started to edge towards capabilities in CMD being imported into SIEM and brought into different systems that teams were using in pretty advanced ways. Kind of finding that that common ground with Elastic was really amazing, and it's been a real eye-opening experience for us as well. That they're a team that's incredibly skilled on the eBPF side, and so we're really excited to say the CMD team is really excited to work with folks that have got a lot of experience here and have played with a lot of the buttons and knobs and done it with a backend that really scales. And I think that's something we're really pumped about.
Elastic's interesting like that, right? Because when you think about the companies with the massively scaling tech, you sort of think Google, Microsoft, you sort of think like that. And there's Elastic, right? Which is kind of funny because they don't have that sort of consumer facing thing.
But
just before we get to talking more about Elastic, you've described this use case for Linux security tooling, right? And that use case is really about these, orchestrated systems operating at scale where it's kind of difficult to get your hands around them unless you're using some tooling. But no doubt when you were negotiating the acquisition of CMD, they would have been asking about, where are some other applications that you can, some other use cases for Linux security software. What did you tell them? Like where else can you go as a Linux security specialist?
We've been talking for a long time about, administrative use cases, management use cases, being able to tap those sessions, observe what people are doing on a system. We talked on this podcast and others about IDR, this concept of infrastructure detection and response. And it was really looking at ways that we saw the threat landscape, kind of changing and shifting over time. I think The interesting part about what we were seeing at CMD is we did see around some of the corners of what adversary started to do in systems. It was interesting to see.
But to be clear, it sounds maturity. Like you're saying your constituency is always going to be that sort of scaled infrastructure sort of.
Yeah, yeah. I think we're, you know, when we're talking to the Elastic team early on, and you know, it's still obviously building familiarity with the team as we integrate. You know, a lot of folks are really interested about, you know, how this broadly applies with you know, performance data as an indicator of compromise, or you know, file system interaction as an indicator of compromise. And you know, we saw some really interesting things that were released, you know, a little while ago with the Elastic Stack for preventative controls, network isolation, host isolation for Linux, and a lot of that lined up in ways that we saw our ability to respond being kind of taken a bit more mainstream outside of in-session multi-factor authentication or the execution blocking that we've talked about, Pat. You know, being able to go and say, well, hey, you know, can we block this? Can we lock this host down on the network or isolate what it's been doing? And I think it was a lot of those concepts that kind of lined up really nicely. We also looked a little bit more broadly towards really a maturation of the threat model around Linux security. You know, we've seen some really cool, sophisticated adversaries doing crazy things in production infrastructure. And the more we expand our capabilities, you know, with what the eBPF sensor can do at Elastic, you know, take that experience, what we built at CMD, bring it into product and do amazing things. You know, I think the better our ability to align with where that threat actor is going to go. It's going to
no,
be
no, I mean, I guess awesome. I guess I was more asking about like what are the other, you know, what are the other sort of use cases for stuff like this?
Oh, and, yeah.
You know, but no, it makes sense that you're just focused on extending the product into better serving that constituency of people who operate infrastructure, yeah. Which makes sense because that's where the Linux hosts are, man. I'm just reaching, yeah. You know, it's what I do.
You know, I think when we think about where you know, where Linux is going into container runtimes, into even manage container runtimes in really interesting ways, there's a ton of really interesting you know, research going on as to how you can defend that kind of infrastructure, and we're staying on top of that. You know, I think yeah. we're eyes wide open as to where the attack surface is going to be.
So now let's talk about the Elastic thing, right? Because obviously you've done a big deal, you've sold the company, and you know, now you're working on the integration and stuff. Now I'd imagine, just at a guess, that the first thing that's going to happen, now no offense, but every company that I know like yours, they've got a really good agent and the back end is pretty hideous. given that Elastic is, you know, so well known for running the back end style stuff, I'd imagine that you're going to squash your existing sort of platform and integrate into stuff they've been doing. Is that about right?
You know, we're really trying to make sure that we can bring a lot of the capabilities in CMD to the stack. And, you know, I think you're exactly right, Pat. You know, when you build an amazing agent, there is always things that you wanted to improve about the back end stack. One of those things for us was host scale, right? And yeah. You know, our earliest customers, some of your listeners will remember the days of, you know, very small deployments causing us long query times and things like that. I think that's one of the most refreshing things about joining a team that actually kind of gets the, you know, the but volumes so, so, of so security
are you,
data.
Are you yeah. re-engineering your back end to, you know, operate on Elastic? Do they have some sort of product set that you're going to sort of more plug into, I guess?
I think we'll be more plugging into things, Pat. You know, it's really in the early days of how we're architecting specifics of what we're going to bring into Elastic. But really the big thing for our existing product and product line and our customers is making sure we can support them through the use case, but also add a ton of value. There is so much we can build on now.
But what will change? Like, say you're a customer, and we do have, you know, a bunch of your customers listening. What's going to change for them?
Up front, they'll start to see a lot of the capabilities that we've been talking about at CMD, introduce themselves into some of the more established parts of the Elastic, you know, product suite.
So you'll be running both of those. They'll have two different screens. Yeah, they'll have CMD screen, and then they can log into the Elastic side, and it's...
There's going to be some, I mean, a lot's yet to be worked out, but yeah, I think, okay. But
you're going to try to make it as painless as possible.
We're making this painless as possible. And I think, you know, where we want to spend, you know, a lot of time and effort is how we can start to improve some of the key capabilities that we wanted to improve at SAMD, but really couldn't do because of the technical limitations we had on the way we built the application in the first place. We're going to a point where, you know, ML is in the stack and, you know, policies and the way that those policies fire in the stack already. And the way that Elastic specializes in a really robust, vertical, scalable platform and is awesome.
I find it very interesting that Elastic has decided, you know, because they were not a security company. And over the last few years, they've just decided, hey, we've got this massively scaling platform. This can be useful in security. There's dollars there. Let's go for it, right? So they've gone on an acquisition spree. They picked up Endgame as a Windows endpoint. They've picked up a bunch of companies, and it seems like they're going all in on XDR, right? Which everybody is at the moment. There's a big stampede towards XDR. And I guess, you know, having Linux as, you know, a Linux visibility as a part of that, I can't think of many vendors that are actually doing that bit, really.
Yeah, there's not too many vendors focusing on Linux. The cloud is kind of this, you know, almost untapped component of many security suites and solutions out there today. And I think a lot of that is just maybe a lack of awareness of, you know, the threat models that are common in those environments, or trying to kind of shoehorn more endpoint specific, desktop specific security solutions into the cloud and kind of
what's really crazy
work.
Though, like, and yeah, I mean, it depresses me, right, when I find this out, but you know, a lot of Linux boxes or Linux workloads have to run AV in certain industries for compliance reasons, which is nuts because it's useless, like, it doesn't do anything. And there's what, show me the malware problem on,
you know, I think there's challenges that we've seen as well with in customer environments in the past at CMD. I kind of recall Clam AV being used along a lot of places, and not to say it's a bad solution, but it's kind of looking looking in a bit of a wrong direction for where threats might be coming into place, and unfortunately, a lot of the ways that simple security solutions would work in Linux systems and environments, it's never really addressed the problem. And so, you know, I think that kind of cloud ecosystem, a lot of the experience that we're bringing from that ecosystem and a lot of the things that we're coming along and adding to platform are going to make that a much more powerful experience and an exciting one. You know, I know our team's really pumped about it. So get in front of the real threat model there and have a lot of fun with it.
Look, talk to me as tangibly as you can. And I know you're still working out the details, but what's the roadmap kind of look like, right? Because as we've kind of established, you know, Linux security tooling is a pretty limited market, right? There's not many people doing it. And, you know, certainly you've been one of the more successful companies, which is why, you know, you just got acquired for a bunch of money. That's great. But, you know, so what next for you? I mean, you've spoken about just sort of expanding it out, adding features, things like that, adding certain types of visibility, but... You know, is there a broader, bigger picture sort of thing with this?
I think the lean in on eBPF and a lot of that really modern telemetry that we didn't have a lot of an ability to do, previously is going to be a massive, massive component of what I know our agent team is really excited about. Leveraging stack capabilities in a broader sense as well. Detections and the things that we've been doing there has been really amazing as well. But I think... what I'm really most excited about is simplifying some of the way that we deployed our software. Becoming part of a more established agent and build process is going to be, it's going to be amazing. And it's going to be something that simplifies the way we kind of managed the agent architecture that we've had in the past. I would say the thing I'm most excited about though, Pat, is eBPF and our ability to really lean in on that side. Getting into other components like the network prevention that's now in product and expanding on those kind of capabilities is really exciting for us and something that really leads towards that kind of XDR vision being actually kind of possible. I think personally, one of the components that I'm most excited about is bringing data together that we've never really been able to link with data.
Well, this is the whole XDR thing, right? Yeah, this is the XDR thing when all of a sudden, you know, you've been looking at a pile. And I know that, like, even in the early days when those events started coming in, right, you started collecting all of that data, you could actually find some really interesting stuff. You could pull some interesting needles out of those haystacks. But you know, you were very
much always limited.
Yeah,
it was very limited in the scope of what we were seeing. And you know, I think that is something I'm really pumped about seeing.
But I guess you're not there yet, Windows, right? Like I'm guessing you haven't had a chance yet.
I think seeing that kind of Windows data from the existing Elastic security integrations, some of the existing Linux telemetry that they have, and being able to correlate that with events we're able to capture in the future is going to be really powerful.
I can't imagine you're going to see too much interesting stuff through the Windows path, but certainly just being able to take the CMD style data and mix it with stuff like you know, Zeek, in a platform that's kind of scalable and you can query without it falling over. That'd be great.
I think where this gets really interesting though, Pat, is a lot of people already have this data in Elastic, and what we were finding at CMD was while people would use our solution to you just render a lot of session data about Linux and go in and discover threats and threat hunt and do all those kind of things in platform. You know, a lot of those companies were forwarding it to the same that they were using elsewhere to map those events to other areas to build a better picture of what had happened. And, you know, that's kind of the default mantra at Elastic. It's endpoint into same and away you go. You've got some really powerful mechanisms there. Familiar experience.
So what's the idea? Like is, you know, cause I'm really not au fait with how advanced, you know, Elastic's thing is compared to, you know, more established SIEMs or even some of these new SIEM cloud plays. Like what's the go? Is it, you know, is eventually the idea that Elastic will offer a SIEM that SOX will select over the established SIEM vendors? Is that the play here?
You know, I think XDR kind of explains a lot of the future vision of where Elastic is going in with integrated endpoints, building out really compatible interfaces that you can respond within platform and being able to correlate a lot of that data within the Elastic stack. Elastic is search, and it's search on a massive amount of a massive powerful stack. I think where we're really excited about this, Pat, is, you know, we've taken SIEM capabilities that are in stack today, and we've seen some amazing improvements as obviously extended detection and response starts to take a bit of a foothold. But I think what a lot of folks are going to see in the vision of what XDR means to Elastic, it's completeness, right? You know, having the ability to respond when we need to, the consistency in data from endpoint and building some amazing technology to round things out as well. It's going to be an awesome picture.
All right, Jake King, thank you very much for joining us to have our first big chat sort of post your acquisition, and congratulations too. It's really wonderful that you've had such a good result. And, you know, I've worked with a lot of startups, and seeing your thing just go textbook, like, because it really did just go textbook every stage of the way. So that's a great result. And congratulations. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks again, Pat. It's been great to catch up.
That was Jake King there. He was formerly of CMD Security, co-founder. And now he's tech lead at Elastic Security. So congratulations to him and to the rest of the CMD team. And big thanks to him for that, and big thanks to Elastic for continuing to support this show. And that is it for this Soapbox edition. I do hope you've enjoyed it. I'll be back next week with more security news and analysis. But until then, I've been Patrick Gray. Thanks for listening.